Dan Celion.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celion.
Well, the indices are staying strong. We'll see if that continues. We got a little bit of momentum going leading up to President Trump's State of the Union speech tonight. We will, I won't be in much shape tomorrow because I will stay up and watch that and watch some of the stuff afterwards and start thinking about some clips. So. It'll be a rough morning. Don't expect anything from me tomorrow too much. But anyway, we'll see. But it's choosing greatness. And that is the title of the State of the Union speech. I would suspect that President Trump is going to be asking the American people, are we ready? And are we willing to choose greatness? Oh, we can choose liberalism. We can choose the radical left. We can even choose socialism. Are we willing to choose greatness? Do we want to continue to see the pride of America and the American exceptionalism, do we want to continue to see that grow? Or would we like to step back to working towards a Venezuela economy? The president's going to be posing this question tonight. The Democrats are, some are boycotting, some are not coming. That's a shame. Doesn't that break your heart? I'm sure it does. We get to sit and watch Nancy Pelosi's sneers, I suspect, coming from behind the president. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be inspiring and uplifting, I hope. So the markets are feeling good, obviously. There's a sense of optimism, not a sense of defeat. There's a sense of security and stability, not a sense of uncertainty. There's a sense of strength, and not a sense of strength through weakness that the left would try to achieve. Hopefully, we will see continued enthusiasm in the markets as we see optimism coming out of trade deals and other agenda items from this president that has worked. I would suspect we'll hear about the president's promises, all the things that he has promised that have happened. No president in my lifetime, I can't speak for beyond that, no president in my lifetime has ever kept so many promises in 2 years than this president. I would venture to say there are few politicians in general that have kept as many promises as this president. We have watched entire groups of politicians promise things to certain segments of the population while at the same exact time destroying that very population that they've made promises to. Not with this president. For some reason, a president that cares as much about America is a problem for America. Not sure how that works. For some reason, a president that wants to see prosperity come to all people and have the opportunity for more prosperity. Somehow that's been called ugly and wrong. Because it's prosperity that can come to the American people without the social control, without bigger government, and without politicians lording over those same people. And yet, many people turn their back on that. A man that would respect life, that would protect the unborn, that would do more for our religious freedoms than any president in recent history. But we want more, I suppose, or at least some do. And we seem to have an inability to realize the greatness that comes out of the attitudes of this president. Oh, we don't like the way he says certain things. I'm with you there. We don't like what he says sometimes because of the way he frames it. We don't like that. But we've got to continue to look past all of that to the content of his agenda, the content that has been accomplished and what is yet to be accomplished, and the goodness that can come from that for us, for our children, and for our grandchildren. All right, we're going to have our ag report, and then we're going to get to phones as soon as we get back from the ag report. Here's Craig Haugard, our ag reporter, right now. I'll be back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market seems to be in a holding pattern as it awaits the February 8th USDA report. Weekly export inspections were released yesterday, and they were in line with expectations of the trade, coming in at 35.5 million bushels. Export loadings are running ahead of the pace estimated by the USDA, so that is a positive story. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading unchanged as I record this. Yesterday brought confirmation that the Chinese had purchased 1 million metric tons of soybeans last week. I would look for this week to be slow on that front as the Chinese are going to be celebrating their new year. For those of you that are keeping track at home, I'm proud to announce that the new year is officially the Chinese year of the pig, which I find kind of ironic given the problems that they've had with the African swine fever lately. It appears as if Chinese imports of soybeans for the October through January timeframe were 9 million metric tons less than last year. And a large part of that may be a result of the African swine fever, which has really disrupted the pork industry in China. Domestically, our export inspections came in at 35.9 million bushels last week, which was at the top end of trade expectations. Looking at South America, I see that Brazil is now 19% harvested versus last year when only 6% of the crop had been harvested by this date. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading unchanged. Wheat had a lethargic performance, although higher Russian wheat prices and lower ocean freight should favor the U.S. getting a bigger share of the export market. That has not occurred yet, as was demonstrated by yesterday's weekly export inspections numbers of only 16.2 million bushels. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny lower, while Kansas City and Minneapolis are both trading unchanged as I record this. Cotton is still in a tight trading range, although yesterday we sank more back towards the low end of that recent trading range. In fact, yesterday saw March futures set back 88 points as they closed at 72.76. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading 14 points higher. Livestock futures had an impressive session yesterday. April live cattle futures finished today 72.5 cents higher, while March feeder cattle finished up $1.70 for the day. Lean hogs had a good session as well, with April lean hog futures closing up $1.02.5. Class 3 milk futures started off the week on a weaker note, with the March Class 3 milk futures down 16 points, closing at 14.23. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were up $3.39 at $2.17.65, while selects were 26 cents higher as they settled at $2.13.41. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.13 higher for the day as they settled out at $68.12.
Such a peace and joy, knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533. I just want to mention this to you because I think it's an important topic, and you're going to hear me talking about this a lot more. There's a Republican congressman by the name of Francis Rooney. If you live in Florida, you might know the name. He's a Florida Republican Congress. And Francis Rooney is putting a bill together for a carbon tax. And I'm sure they'll get some Republican support and obviously get Democratic support for this carbon tax. We have to go back to 2009 to hear some of my comments and read some of my writings in reference to the carbon tax. And at the very same time that I was talking about that, there was a bill being put before the House or being prepared and talked about at a State of the Union speech when President Obama said, you can keep your doctors. Do you remember that? And this bill, of course, was the Obamacare bill that was passed. And everybody on the right, including myself, was talking about how horrible this bill was. It is, it was, and it will forever be until it's gone. But I said at the time that the worst bill in the history of America is being contemplated. Everybody thought I was talking about the Affordable Care Act. That bill was a carbon tax bill. It was without a doubt the worst bill in the history of America that was ever contemplated. I said that knowing that there was not one Congress person who even begun to consider or think about the unintended consequence. And I will tell you that if we buy in to a carbon tax, Francis Rooney actually used the words that, well, eventually it'll go away. Okay, yeah. Somebody tell me, would somebody call me and tell me about how many taxes that were going to go away that, you know, when they finally went away? Somebody, would somebody let me know that? I pay a personal income tax living in the county that I live in, and I remember when it was instituted, this is on a county level, and I remember when it was instituted to say, oh, it's only temporary, we need to fund a couple of things, it's going to go away. Not only is it still there, it's going up twice. That was probably 15 years ago. No, it was longer than that, 20 years ago. Same on the national level, never goes away. It's never going to go away. But let me tell you about the carbon tax. It will. And it is the worst tax in the history of America. And we can forget about all of our freedoms. It will literally be the biggest social control power grab in the history of the nation. You will have liberal presidents someday, liberal Congress someday, that will be able to control everything in the private sector that is going on. If you are a baker, I buy my bread. I'm gluten-free, but there's a great little bakery in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I buy bread. And we buy 15 loaves at a time, and we freeze it. And it is a great bakery, and it's just a little shop, and this guy bakes bread and rolls, and, you know, he doesn't do, you know, fancy cakes or any of that stuff. He just bakes, like, bagels and bread. He's out of business. He's out of business if we have a carbon tax. Because, unfortunately, it's beyond his control that he has to put his ovens on at 350 degrees, whatever it is, to bake a loaf of bread. And every time he does that, he is putting forth a certain amount of carbon emissions. And he's going to get taxed on that. Now, he can buy, we'll be able to trade and buy, because there's going to be Wall Streeters who are going to love this bill. He can trade and buy other people's carbon credits that they're not using. This is going to create a whole nother source of market gain. But he's going to be out of business because he either has to start baking 1,000 loaves a day instead of 200. I have no idea how many loaves he makes a day of bread, but he's going to have to dramatically change some things. And the government is going to have control of every tiny little small business to every major business based on the carbon emissions they put forth, because we have so many naive congressmen and senators and legislators and organizations that believe that there is some kind of wall around America that goes all the way up to the ozone level, and we can stop the global warming that they believe in so much. I'm okay, that's good. We're going to contribute to that. It's great. But guess what? All of you in California, I know there's a mass exodus out of California. Maybe this is one of the reasons. But, you know, all the emissions that is produced in China and India, does anybody know about the rotation of the earth? Guess where it ends up? In California. And comes westbound from there, or eastbound from there. It's the way it is. They haven't figured that out yet in California. The intelligentsia of Hollywood doesn't understand which way the world rotates. And then what happens in China, let's get this oil out of here. Let's get it over to China. Oh, yeah, let's let them refine it. Surely they refine it with higher standards than our EPA makes our refiners refine it, right? Of course they do. You know, so let's get it over there. That's a good move. Where do you think it's going to end up? This is a power grab. This is social control. And we've got a Republican congressman in Florida that's putting forth the bill. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Wait, no. Oh, no. It's not going to go that far to the baker. Oh, really? Once you get this bill passed, all you've got to do is tweak the rules and regulations in and around the bill. So I don't know who's going to be in charge of it. Why don't we start an entire new department of government to run this? How about we do that? And then they can put rules and regulations on to end up getting down to the baker that's trying to bake a few rolls to make a living. Oh, Dan, you're really blowing that out of proportion. Am I? Okay. Well, another one of those clips, guys, that when I'm dead and gone, you can play. Because it's exactly what is going to happen. And if we allow that bill to hit the floor, we're in big, big trouble. Something else to worry about. Let me go to Elaine. Elaine's calling us from Georgia. Hey, Elaine.
Hey, Dan. I'm a partner, and I'm using the income portfolio.
Yes.
I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the stock, and there's a dividend rate and a dividend yield. Which right. should I be looking at?
So the dividend yield is an average percentage that you should be receiving by, you know, every year. That's usually in percentage terms.
Right.
The dividend that it is paying is a dollar amount.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing that is unchangeable. That's not going to change. And what that is saying, Elaine, that you're going to get, I'm making this number up, but you're going to get uh-huh. 22 cents for every share that you own. The
okay.
annual yield is a percentage of that 22 cents against the price of the stock. So the annual yield is changing all the time because when the stock goes down, the percentage uh-huh. goes up because that 22 cents is now calculated on a smaller number. Do you follow that?
I lost it toward the end.
Okay, that's okay. So the smaller, the number being the price of the share. So today the price of the share of the stock may be $30. And the annual yield could be 5%. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. the price of the share could be $10. And mm-hmm. the price down, so that 22 cents is now calculated on $10 as opposed to a bigger number. So the percentage is higher. The percentage of that.
The dividend yield is higher?
Yeah, so the dividend itself never changes, but the annual yield percentage is going to change based on the stock price. So the 22 cents a share is never mm-hmm. going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Not never, can change. I mean, the board can decide yeah. to eliminate it or change it,
uh-huh.
but that's this constant. So if you have 1,000 shares, you're going to get 1,000 times 22 cents no matter what happens. I'm going to stick with you on this, Elaine. I'm going to put you on hold so we can finish our thoughts up. I got to go to break. Folks, we'll get right back to Elaine's question because it's edifying for everybody, and I was probably a little confusing there. So we'll get back, and we'll... God's way. Siri 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. I was talking to Elaine from Georgia, and we were talking about yield on a particular stock and how does one judge exactly what the yield is and how that works. So I'm just going to use an example, Elaine, of a particular stock just to
okay.
give you some, so it might help a little bit. So
okay.
I'm looking at Archer Daniels Midland, ADM stock, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at that, and the chart says that the annual dividend rate, and it's shown in dollars, is $1.34.
Mm-hmm.
So for every share of Archer Daniels stock that you own, you're going to get $1.34 a year or 33 and a half cents a quarter because they pay it out quarterly. So you're going to get 33 and a half cents a quarter for every share you own.
Okay.
Now, the stock is selling for $42 a share. If mm-hmm. I look at the percentage of $1.34 against uh-huh. $42, that's uh-huh. going to come out to three percent. So
okay.
it would be safe to say that right now, that the rate of return, the dividend, the annual yield, not the rate, the yield is 3% a year.
Oh.
But if the stock goes up to $50 a share, the $1.34 stays the same. So when I calculate $1.34 on $50, the interest rate is going to go down a year to something else, 2.8%, because it is calculated, the dollar, the $1.34 is calculated on a bigger number. So it's a small percentage of that number. So all you, all we care about as income investors is I'm getting four times a year, I'm getting $33.50 for every share I own. If the if the price goes up to 100, if it goes down to 5, I'm still getting 33.50 for every share I own. My income is not going to change unless I sell some shares or I buy more shares, but it's going to be 33.50. Now, the board or the company can elect to raise the dividend or lower the dividend, and then it could change. But it's based on how many shares you own. So when you hear me say, don't worry about the value, we're in it for income. It's a good, solid company. It's going to, you know, over the long term, you'll do fine. But in the meantime, you're going to get 33.5% four times a year on all your shares. And that's a good thing. Your income's not going to change. So if we're income investors, we want to get as much money per share as we can.
Okay. So if I'm looking at this and so if it, this has got, well, the dividend on what I was looking at is 4.31%. That's better than most of the CDs I'm looking at. So that would be better for me. I know there's more risk, but
yes,
that would give me more money.
That's correct.
The amount of money I invest.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
That's going to
give you
more percentage. Yep. You're welcome, Elaine. I'm glad you called.
I have one other question.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm looking at the website and I see these, the name of the stock, and then I see something. This is a material thing, and it says MA36.
Right.
So that is something that just pertains to your to
yes.
your site. Right?
Nobody else will know what that means. Yeah, you don't put that into a symbol or anything like that. That's just for us. Yeah.
Okay. So then, if I wanted to ask about a specific stock, I could do it without giving the.
Correct.
The name of the
that's
stock.
That's okay. Exactly why we do it. That's why we do it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate it. Thank you for your partnership.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great question because it helps everybody. I love stuff like that. That's good. It's one of those coachable moments. Let me go to BJ in North Carolina. Hey, BJ.
Well, good morning, Mr. Dan.
Good morning.
I have a question. My daughter is no longer working with her company.
Uh-huh.
A 401k.
Okay.
Merrill Lynch is telling her that she could move that into an IRA.
Correct.
Okay, but you just can't do anything with it. It just has to stay there. You can't get at it unless you sell your stuff and pay all the taxes.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yes, and she would have to pay the penalty, a 10% penalty, too.
A 10% penalty.
Yep. If she's under 59 and a half, I'm assuming she is.
She definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, so she would have to pay a 10% penalty and the taxes on that money.
Okay, now let me ask you, is there another place she could send that you know of that would be better than...
Merrill Lynch? You mean better in what way? To save the taxes or something?
No, just a better company?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would like it if she would send it to, you know, open up an IRA account at a broker, you know, a discount broker like a TD Ameritrade or E-Trade. Or since she's relatively young, I would consider sending it to Timothy Plan, where she can diversify it in some of their funds. And then from time to time, she can continue to add to it and build it up.
Okay. Do you get a number for the Timothy folks?
Yeah, I do. It is, I just got to find it. It's 800-846-7526.
800-846-7526.
Yes.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you very much. God bless, and you have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Thank you, BJ. Let me go to, how much time we got? Let me go to Roger. Roger's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thanks for coming to Richmond. That was just a great seminar you did on Saturday. I was really blessed, not only by your financial wisdom, but also just by your just to get to know you better. It was awesome. Mm. So I hope you come back soon.
I will. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate you saying that.
Got a couple questions. I'm 65, retired, and just became a partner yesterday. So thank
you. Oh, wow. Thank you.
I have a 401k with Huntington Ingalls, which was a company that was spun off of Northrop Grumman.
Yes.
With about $150,000 in it that I don't really need right now.
Okay.
But I want to be biblically responsible with it.
Okay.
Should I transfer that into something like the Timothy plan, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, so you can do that, or you can, you know, build a portfolio using a combination of maybe two or three Timothy funds and some individual stocks. And using, so I have an asset allocation model for 65 and up, or whatever one you want to choose. And it would include a couple of Timothy funds, but also some individual stocks. And how it works is it doesn't give you the stocks, it gives you the sectors. So it would say to put 5% of that, I'm making this up, but it would say to put 5% of that in energy. And then you would go to my buy list on the energy side of things and buy a couple of those stocks on the buy list. You would only put things in there from the buy list, and you would add a couple things from the buy list that you can put in there to make that 5%. And then do that throughout all the sectors over a period of time until you have it all invested, and then forget about it. Don't look at it again. There may be a time 5 years from now where you say, you know, I'm going to start supplementing my income, and I want to supplement it through that account, you know, a little bit every month or whatever you might want to do. And then it might be time to shift it into an income portfolio if you think that's going to happen within the next 5 years. Then maybe not do what I just said a minute ago and look at the income portfolio, which is the last one on the asset allocation list, and do start building that up. So you're ready in 4 or 5 years to start pulling that income out on a regular basis to supplement your other income.
The plan that I'm in now is very limited on where I can invest the money. How do I get it out of that plan and into a place where I can buy these different biblically responsible investments?
Yeah. So,
a brokerage account?
Yep. So you would set an account up somewhere, you know, E-Trade or TD Ameritrade or wherever, you know, one of those discount brokers. They have a transfer form that they'll ask you to sign wherever you set it up, and they handle it. You don't have to do anything. They will transfer your account over to the new account. So you'll sign that transfer form, and that money or those positions will end up showing up in your new account. So they'll help you do that.
There'll still be an IRA. With
yes. The, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Building. Make sure it's still an IRA. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, is that the music?
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Let me go to phones. Let me go to Mike. Mike is calling us from Ohio. Hey, Mike. There you go.
I contribute to my 401k. I have a Roth IRA. And I have a brokerage account at Timothy.
Okay.
And I contribute 70% into the large cap, mid cap, 15 in the Israel.
Okay.
And 15 in the small cap. Just wondering if and how you would change that.
So, how old are you, Mike?
I've got about 15 to 20 more years until I retire.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't change it. I think it's fine. I would leave it alone. I would say that 15% in Israel is probably a little heavy. But so 15 in Israel and so I wonder and I would have 10% in the small cap, 10% in Israel. I think that would be fine. And then you've got room for the other 80%. To be in the large cap growth, and I think that'll serve you well. If are you contributing on a regular basis, like every pay or every once a month or
weekly?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you'll do fine because the more you contribute, not money, and I don't care about the amount of money. The more you contribute constantly, contributing. That's going to serve you really well, and I think that's a good mix. I wouldn't change anything.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Charles. Charles calling us from West Virginia. Hey, Charles. Charles? Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I really enjoyed your first 30-minute tirade. I think you're spot on.
Thank you.
You know, Dan, we're in a cultural, a religious, a political jihad.
Yeah, amen.
That's what's happening. We're in a jihad against everything that this country was founded upon.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to take an invasion from somebody.
No. Well, we know that. We're seeing that, Charles. It doesn't have to take an invasion.
No.
We're watching it happen right before our eyes.
Correct.
And it's all coming from within.
Correct.
It's terrible.
I really appreciate you making that, bringing it forward.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Charles. I appreciate you and thank you for your witness to this program for all these years. We just appreciate you so much. Thank you, brother.
Well, bless you and your family.
Thank you, Charles. Same to you. God bless. You know, Charles is a long, 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 long-term listener. I knew Charles when he was single. And I remember when he got married. Found a wonderful companion in his young lady in his church. And I'm just grateful. I love to hear from Charles. Charles is right, folks. We're in it right here. And you know what's disturbing to me, the most disturbing thing, that one of the most disturbing things I hear, and I heard it a number of times from a number of people when they were speaking to me either after the town hall meeting in Richmond or before the town hall meeting. And they were talking about, you know, everybody mentions my rants, and a friend of mine who from the church there that had me there, you know, kids, and said, you know, people say to Dan something about my rants, and, you know, all I can do is say thank you. But, you know, one of the things that people say all the time is we just need to hear it. And, you know, you can't imagine, you don't know, how many Christian radio programs, or I'm sorry, radio networks, radio stations, and TV stations won't air this show. Not because of the financial advice, not because of I'm talking about good, solid, biblical stewardship and honoring God with their money. Not because of that. They love that, and they would probably air it if that's all I did. But they can't air it because they're afraid of what I just did this morning. They're afraid of that. And, you know, it's sad when I hear people say, I wish we could hear more of it in Christian circles. You know, I had a radio station once tell me that it was taboo. That was the words they used. It's taboo to talk about wealth and money on Christian radio. We shouldn't be talking about that. Really. Funny, you know, when we think about Jesus and all through Scripture, how many times that was talked about. I haven't found yet in the Bible where wealth is evil. All I know about wealth is when you begin to worship it, you lose your connection with our Lord and Savior, and that is one of the worst forms of idolatry. So, look, I understand that part of it. But do you know what money can do in the hands of God, the great multiplier? What it can do in the hands of God's work? I would like to ask, which I did on one particular New York station, tell me how your station survives. Let me ask you about your share-a-thon. How about if I came on the air during your share-a-thon and said, why are we talking about money and why should you give? Well, yeah, but we're not. You know, you know, obviously Christian ministry, we need that. We need donations. That's a little different. Why is it different? See, the problem is that there are radio stations. There are churches. There are pastors that think these rants are horrible. And that's sad. But certainly there is that. I get that. I know that. I don't agree with it. But it's sad to me. So if we wonder why more Christians aren't hearing it, is because maybe there's not enough Christians talking about it. And maybe there's not enough Christian networks, radio stations that want to air it because they're afraid of the blowback they might get. That's sad, man. So when we look at AFR, we look at Kingdom Keys Network, we look at TV networks like Dove Television and Biz Television and CTN and other TV networks that broadcast this program. They're broadcasting this program because they care deeply about ministering to the people that are listening, and they care deeply about America. And they're not going to get intimidated by some verbal abuse that they might have to deal with. They're going to do what is right for the people listening, God's people listening to those networks. Every single week, folks, every single week, It'll happen today. Mark my words on it. Sure as I'm sitting here, I will get more than one email today because of that rant, questioning my Christianity. I'm telling you. And I will question their Christianity for hunkering down and adopting the attitude of timidity while God's country falls apart around them. I really won't do that. I would like to, but I won't. I don't know. I wish I did. I don't know if my rant today or my rant any day or what I'm talking about from a political state of this economy in this country, I don't know if that's God's plan for this ministry. I wish I knew. I wish I knew God's plan. All I know is that I'm trying to stay in his obedience, and all I know is God continues to support and raise up great people that come alongside this ministry. And I believe with all my heart, back when I was consulting with some of the largest, biggest, greatest ministries, or I shouldn't say ministries, I'll say salt shakers. They may be salting themselves, but salt shakers. Some of the largest that I've consulted with that are trying to grow a bigger and better salt shaker as opposed to trying to salt the earth, God's people, the kingdom. And I can tell you there's a dramatic difference between their work and how God rises to the occasion of supporting that than there is some other ministries. I look at that as confirmation. I was asked by a consultant friend of mine if I would do an organizational audit of a particular Christian ministry. This goes back about 5 years ago. And I said, do you know that I did this for that ministry 5 years ago? No, I didn't know that. Well, they need to pull out what I wrote then and read it again. Because some things don't change. And they need to look a little bit less inward and a little bit more heavenly and look up. But I believe it can be confirmation of God's blessing upon any ministry. And I'm going to really hear about this now. So I just talked about the emails I'm going to get. And I just said something that's going to generate a whole bunch more that I don't want to get. Anyway, it is what it is. Folks, Financial Issues, I'm Dan Celia. 844-707-5533. We got lines open. We'll be back.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.